This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
These guys are ridiculous. These guys are ridiculous.
Now, how about them damn Celtics?
And we are back with another episode of How About Them Celtics. Sam and I are here recording on Thursday, March 28th, after the Celtics' second straight loss to the Atlanta Hawks, 123-122. DeJounte Murray decided to turn into Thanos. 44 points on 44 shots for the man as the Hawks took down the Celtics in overtime.
Thanos in the sense that he said, fine, I'll do it myself.
Pretty much. Just,
he just took all the shots.
Did everything by himself. Of their 104 shots, he took 44 of them. So that would be quite the issue. However, the real problem, and we'll get into all of it, is that the Hawks got 10 more shots than the Celtics and grabbed 17 offensive rebounds, which is not ideal, you should say.
No,
just tough game for the Celtics. Weird, probably bad. We can watch them last two possessions in regulation. Overtime, they actually looked a lot better in the clutch offense, and yet it didn't matter because they couldn't get an offensive rebound to save their life. And at that point in the game, DeJounte Murray decided to make every tough shot he took, and so the Celtics lose.
And that is it. Ass. Terrible. Maybe grab a rebound. This game doesn't go to overtime if you grab a rebound. Plain and simple. Just one extra rebound. Just one. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to get all the other ones that you gave up. Just get that one that rat fuck Bogdanovich doesn't get an extra three, and your game is won. Plain and simple. At least it's fun that we get to complain about something new. Like, I'm glad we don't have to come on here and be like, well, they still suck in the clutch, which they kind of did in the regulation. But again,
overtime,
like
was
you
good.
Mentioned, overtime, not too much to complain about. Like, thought they actually did stuff, ran plays, looked different, got different looks. It wasn't just Tatum throwing up a brick at the buzzer. It was Porzingis catching it. Ball goes to Jaylen, who gets to his spot and knocks down a jumper. Problem is, they're so not used to it, is they left a bunch of time left on the shot clock, or on the game clock, rather. So
they went faster, though.
Time to win.
If you want to spin it, they did go faster. They didn't leave it.
They did not just sit there dribbling. Respect.
And the Celtics did spread the ball around in overtime, too. Like, Derek White was one of one. Kristaps Porzingis was 0 of 1, but he took a shot. Tatum was 1 of 1. Brown was 1 of 4, which isn't ideal, but two of those were tough threes. And then the Hawks, who had Wesley Matthews go 0 of 1, and then DeJounte Murray go 5 of 8 in overtime. And to the Celtics, well, actually, to detract from the Celtics' credit, one of those was just a wide fucking open three, which the Celtics didn't rotate on, which was horrendous. But the rest of them were Celtics put their hand in DeJounte Murray's mouth, excuse me. And have you ever seen WWE? You know, Santino Marella? You ever heard of that guy who's got the sock puppet on his hand?
What about him?
His entire finishing move is just, I'm going to shove my hand in your face. That's what the Celtics did to DeJounte Murray. And yet he decided, I'm making these shots anyways, fuckers. And he just made them all. and to make matters worse, when the Celtics finally did decide to play great defense on DeJounte Murray, shout out to Derek White, they got all the fucking offensive rebounds in the world, and it didn't matter. And so it was enraging. Hawks got only one offensive rebound in overtime, I guess, but it was just so frustrating to watch the offensive rebounds. That was far and away my biggest problem of the game. We can go back and watch the two Tatum possessions at the end of regulation and nitpick those all we want. Like, and I'm sure we can actually like watch them, but like the Celtics, the problem in this game is just so like punchy in the face. 17 offensive rebounds, you lose the game. Period. That is it.
Yeah. So I wrote for Celtics blog yesterday. Hey, when the Celtics lose, it takes the stars to align, and that happened again today. DeJounte Murray scores a career high 44. The Celtics give up all the second chances. It's just like, do you realize how like outrageous, how many things went wrong today for this to happen where they could lose by one? It is unbelievable. I mean, just even if you want to like take timely context, right?
How bad the episode
who has been big PP lately. Only had four points today. He was 1 of 3. He barely did anything. He was a team low, tied with Tatum, minus 11. And he really didn't make much of an impact. not what you saw from him over the last 3 weeks or so. He's been on fire. Weird, weird game. Jalen didn't make a three. Porzingis still hasn't made a lot of threes since coming back. He hasn't looked great.
Well, the weird thing is the Celtics, and this isn't like it's far and far from the biggest complaint, but just something weird to notice. Celtics didn't take a lot of threes, and that's okay usually, but like it's also usually indicative of they're probably not playing the right style of offense that works for them. Like 36 threes for the Celtics in overtime game. 36 threes is not a lot of threes for the Celtics in regulation. Like that is a crazy low number of threes. Like I wonder what's the fewest number of threes the Celtics have attempted in a game this season. I know it was Philly, but like fewest threes attempted in a game by Celtics this season. And again, I'm not saying this is the biggest problem. The offensive rebounding was far and away the biggest problem. But my point is, yeah, that is tied for the 7th. Tied for the 7th fewest they've taken in a game this season. And this was overtime. Like that is astonishingly low number of threes for the Celtics. And I think a big part of it was like they were so pigeonholed and focused on we are going to drive, we are going to do this. And a lot of their success on offense came in transition that they just didn't have. Like, I don't know, the offensive flow was messed up, but the defense was the biggest problem. The defense throughout the entire first half was just, we're going to play defense from behind, put Porzingis in the drop, and have Derek White and Jrue Holiday contest from behind, and the Hawks just got in the lane as much as they wanted. Then when they switched to guard at the level, DeJounte Murray just roasted Porzingis. And once they finally figured out to stunt and then get back, and Derek White finally got back on DeJounte Murray and Jrue Holiday finally got back on DeJounte Murray, they found some success, but it didn't fucking matter because they couldn't grab a rebound. So they figured it out eventually, but it didn't matter because the one thing that they've been struggling with the whole game mitigated the effectiveness of them guarding DeJounte Murray. Tatum, 9 of 22, not great. 2 of 7 from 3, not great, but he had 13 rebounds, 6 assists, finished with 31 points. I didn't look at this as like, wow, okay. Tatum. Yeah, I was going to say, this didn't like scream like Tatum sucked tonight. He obviously wasn't good, but he wasn't like, this wasn't the worst game he's had in a Celtics loss by a mile. Jalen only 9 of 17. And when I say only, I mean, he only took 17 shots, which is a good percentage at 53. 0 of 3 from 3, 4 assists, 1 rebound. This was a weird Jalen game to me because it felt like simultaneously he wasn't involved enough. But when he did have the ball, he was making a little bit of like, let's slow down a little bit, Jalen. So it was like, I feel like
a lot of his buckets in transition. That's why.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't feel like Jalen scored very much in the half court, except for the two big shots that he made in this game.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I feel you on that. Like, he really wasn't involved in the offense tonight. The offense tonight was really weird. There was really no consistency to it. It felt like they struggled at times. They couldn't get a stop either. So, like, all of those things compiled into, hey, Atlanta's just going to win this game.
Yeah,
Holiday I thought was fine in his return.
He played
made
well.
Half his threes. Can't complain. Yep. I think the there might have been minor growing pains in like getting him back in the lineup
at the
like,
start, especially.
Like, yeah, it's like, oh wait, how do we use this guy? So that could factor into it too. But like, I will say, happy to see a good Derek White game. I feel like it's been a long time since we saw Derek White just be on fire.
Mm-hmm. He rocked to the point where I think they should have used him. Like, he carried them down the stretch of that game in the sense that, like, he got them organized, put them in the right place, made good passes. And then the last two possessions of regulation didn't do anything. And then the offense down the stretch in overtime, I'd want to watch it again, but, like, didn't feel like he had a huge impact in there either outside of the three he hit, which just came off of ball movement and wasn't him running the offense. So that was weird. I thought he played great defense, obviously, but I kind of wanted to see him do more. Only taking 11 shots when you're shooting 83 splits makes me feel like maybe you could probably take a few more of those. So that was weird and frustrating a bit. I don't know. It just felt like the defense and the rebounding was obviously the biggest things, but the offense was just not there. And Keith Smith tweeted about it, and this is kind of whole. You can just so clearly tell that these guys don't care as much anymore. Like they're like just the way they play, especially the effort on defense. Like, if you want to talk about the offensive rebounding being a problem, like that is indicative of, yeah, we don't give a shit. We're lazy. We're done with the regular season. We want to get to the playoffs. And obviously that's not a good thing. That is not what I'm saying at all. It sucks. It's not fun to watch, and it sucks to see them lose a game because of poor effort. But at the same time, I also don't necessarily think that the offensive rebounding thing is going to be something that carries into the playoffs. Cause one, we haven't actually seen it a lot lately, right? This is the first time we talked about offensive rebounding in months, it feels like. And two, they're obviously going to try in the playoffs. Like, they're not that stupid. They are just these games mean nothing. Like, realistically, these games mean nothing to the Celtics.
I wish we like made graphics, because that would be a good one. It's just like you. It's like they're obviously going to try in the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, do you disagree?
Or like me the other day when I was like, yeah, it is a good thing that they have this huge like point differential. Whatever the fuck
but
I was talking.
You know
about.
What I'm saying though? Like, duh. Like, this game doesn't matter.
Yeah, you probably don't get out rebounded by a billion in the playoffs. Probably don't give up, what, 28 second chance points?
Yeah, 28-8 in second chance points, which is in a 1-point game.
So bad.
That'll do it.
Like, just don't be the absolute worst and you win. Just play it simple. Like, just don't do, like, the dumbest shit ever and you win this game.
There were also far too many. Sorry, you can go.
It just sucks because this was, like, a big redemption spot for them. And they did just about everything right. Like, they made the baskets. They actually scored in the big moment twice. And then they just couldn't get the stop.
I wonder how much of this... Remember after the first Atlanta game when you were like, maybe this is the Nets thing where they got all their points in transition, they got all this stuff. Like, it's not a one-to-one because they didn't get out to this big lead then blow it. But, like, it did feel like they were getting a lot of their baskets early in the game off of transition and off of mismatches. And then when that went away, they had no other outlet to go to in this one. So maybe that's a part of it. What frustrated me is the amount of times we looked up and said, why is that guy open? Why is Bogdanović open after a rebound? Why is Bogdanović open after rotations? Why is DeJounte Murray butt fucking naked open at the top of the key in overtime for a 3-point? I'm going to pull that play up while you talk, but like the rebounding was one thing.
I don't know if there's a way to do it, but you should get the playback version of that, like where it's just like all of us being like, how is he open? He is the only one scoring any points for the Hawks. How is he open?
And I think part of that genuinely is these guys don't care about these games anymore, which, again, not an excuse, not fun to watch, but I just, like, it doesn't matter to them anymore. It doesn't. Does it matter? This game won't matter in a month at all.
Won't matter in a month.
Not probably.
And that's the good takeaway from this, but
yeah,
the thing that sucks is not watching it. It's just like, hey, you just like pulled some shit the last game and the Hawks like trolled around with it. Like, the social team had fun. Everybody made fun of the Celtics and it was a big get your lick back spot. And you kind of didn't. I know they probably didn't care. And I don't expect them to be looking at what the Hawks social team has to say. But you think you'd have a little bit more pride after blowing a 30-point lead and being humiliated like that.
I genuinely just think they don't give a shit until the playoffs. And again, it's going to suck to watch because that's not fun. But like,
football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's a tournament season or the fight for a playoff home court, there's no shortage of high stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into serious cash. Testing my skills on Prize Picks this season is the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with just a few taps. Prize Picks is really simple to play, and I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. Download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Use the code CLNS for the first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
This feels
like the first time all year that it's been like the same shit, different day. Like, okay, let's see. Early this season, they lost to Minnesota.
Well, they've only lost two in a row three times is why.
Well, exactly. But even the other two times are different than this. One, they didn't lose the same team, which you can't really do a lot. Yeah. But there's not a lot of opportunities to do it. But okay, lose to Minnesota, then they lose to Philly. The games were different. Minnesota, they had a situation where they were in a close game. They could have won it. Philly, they clawed back from like 18 down and almost won. Okay. Then they lose to Cleveland and they lose to Denver. Cleveland, they controlled the entire game. They shit the bed in the fourth quarter. Dean Wade had the greatest game of his life. And then 2 days later, they go to Denver and Denver controls the entire game. The losses were completely different. It wasn't the kind of thing where they were like, we have to be better.
Well, I think these were pretty completely different, too. It was just against the same team.
They were different, but they weren't different. They were different in the sense that the Celtics had they had complete control of the first game. They're up 30, but it still came down to the wire. This game also came down to the wire. And it just
was the Cavs game and the Nuggets game both came down to the wire. It was just different.
They got there completely different ways, though. Like the games.
That's how this happened too, though. Celtics were up 30, then the Hawks cut up, and then it was down to the wire. Celtics and Hawks battled the whole game, then it was down to the wire.
Well, it being the same team does play into it.
Yeah, Celtics were up big against the Cavs, then it came down to the wire. Celtics controlled it against the Nuggets, and then battled the whole game, and then it came down to the wire. Like I feel like it's. I don't think these are the exact same game.
Yeah, but
I understand what you're saying.
They were playing from behind in the Nuggets game. Like at the end of the game, they were playing from behind.
Well, yeah, but that still like doesn't change the fact that it was different from the Cleveland game, and this was different than the game. I understand what you're saying, but I don't think this is like a one-to-one carbon copy. The same issues happened twice in a row.
I mean,
the other night they blew a huge lead, and then they couldn't execute in the clutch on offense. This one, they couldn't grab a rebound. They played a close game the whole time, and then they couldn't stop Jonte Murray in the clutch, but they actually think they played okay offense in overtime.
Overtime, they were fine. In regulation, they got a terrible Tatum shot.
Two terrible Tatum possessions, I should say. But I you have to, and I'm not saying he's devoid of blame. I just hate that he is going to get all the flack for it, because this is not a solely Tatum problem at all.
No, it's not, and I don't want it to sound like that. Because, I mean,
I'm not saying you were doing that, but everyone else is
this one. Yeah, but it's good to clarify, just to be like, hey, just in case you were thinking about it, don't blame him.
Yeah. Also, this is the Murray shot that we were referencing, in case anybody's curious of what we were talking about. This is a hold up. I can put us away from the score. One point game here. Celtics up by one. Hawks have the ball, and Jonte Murray is about to get it. Bogdanovich is about to take a shot. Kicks it out to Krejci, who dribbles in one dribble, and then Jonte Murray gets the most open threes had all night. Like, what are we doing? This is on Jaylen, by the way, because these two double, Holiday recognizes it, gets out to this guy. Meanwhile, Tatum and Jaylen are both boxing out guys who are standing in the same spot, and no one recognizes this. Jaylen has to see this and make the rotation. Still not even paying attention.
He stood there for a while.
Yeah, just you have to get up. You have to go. You have to go. Because even at this point, like by the time he gets out here, Porzingis is capable of getting back to Capella so Tatum can make this rotation here. Jaylen has to go here. He covers for long enough. Jaylen has to start running now. As soon as you see Krejci move his head, he has to start running. Just too delayed. And an open shot. You got to hit those rotations in the clutch, which is tough. But it is what it is. And then we can watch the two Tatum possessions at the end of the game, too, before we start to wrap up. But all comes down to the offensive rebounding. You can get into the niche and the minutiae of this possession sucked. They missed the defensive rotation here. They stared at the rebounds and just let the Hawks get them. That is it. They watched, they sucked, they stared, and nothing came of it. I'll pull up these possessions real quick.
Just remarkable that they could not get a single rebound. Not one. Mm-hmm. They gave them all the extra possessions.
Yep. All of them.
Disgusting.
Here is the shot I'm talking about. Can I put us in the same spot? I think I can put you. I want to put you at the top of the screen so you're not just like hanging out by yourself down there. Okay. So here is the first one. This is the foul. So they run something before this. Everyone's spaced out. And it's just also this possession started with 24 seconds left on the clock, and they did nothing the whole possession. They started Tatum in the backcourt, found him in the backcourt, and then he dribbled up the clock to 11 seconds and 8 seconds on the shot clock.
I mean, Derek White is borderline out of bounds.
Yeah, taking way too long here. Someone comes set a screen for him. Like, look, you have Kristaps Porzingis with fucking Bogdanovich on him. You're telling me you wouldn't rather Tatum attacking Bogdanovich or Kristaps posting up Wesley Matthews in this spot? What are we doing? Like, how does that make any sense? And then Tatum, to his credit, actually does get sort of by Wesley Matthews or about to go around him or something. And Wesley Matthews just fouls him. And so, like, you foul him, you reset, 6 seconds left, whatever. And at this point, the Hawks won't have another chance to get a shot off. So, fine, right? Sure. Then you get to here. 7 seconds left in the game. Celtics, I switched the tab this time, I promise.
No, I know. Celtics. I'm just laughing because I know what we're about to watch. Greatest possession of all time.
Celtics get the ball to Tatum. They actually run a, you know what? Credit? They run a pick and roll. At least they run something, even with 7 seconds.
Well, they also ran the Tatum inbounds play.
Yeah, and they got him with downhill. But Wesley Matthews did a good job of cutting it off, or else Holiday would have just found Tatum on the drive and they would have got something out of that. Tatum drives past. Wesley Matthews trips. And then this is where it's shit. There's 3 seconds left on the clock. Tatum couldn't get the pass to Holiday because they switched it. And then everyone else is just standing around and they live with this. Tatum fading away out of bounds. Which sucks. And it sucks to watch Tatum take that shot. But I'll ask you, and this isn't like, oh, Tatum was correct to do this, but like, what should they have done in that spot? I'm asking you genuinely. This isn't like mocking it or anything. Like genuinely, what would you have wanted them to do?
Get the fucking ball to Kristaps at the free throw line, for fuck's sake.
Sure. In. Fine. My answer would be run a pick and roll where Derek White has the ball.
Can you start that play over again? I just want to see who's covering who for Atlanta.
Yep. Eagle.
Okay, so you have Capella on Kristaps. Okay, so you can't just put him right at the free throw line.
No. What I would have wanted them to do is run Tatum in the backcourt. See, the issue, so this is what I was going to say. I was going to say there's six, by the way, this possession happened with 6.7 seconds left. 4.4 is just where they are now. I like the idea of bringing Tatum from the backcourt because it worked for them in the past, right? Would you agree? I think bringing Tatum from the backcourt is smart. It lets you build momentum. What I would want is Derek White in the action instead of Drew Holiday, which I suppose is a bit counterintuitive with Bogey guarding Drew because that's the better matchup. But I'd want Derek White coming from the backcourt, Tatum screening for him with Wes Matthews on him. So Tatum gets onto DeJounte Murray, which weirdly enough, I like better than Wesley Matthews because Wesley Matthews is actually weirdly good at guarding Tatum. And then from there, either Tatum can slip the screen like he did in that one play against the Bulls where he got around Torrey Craig because they were anticipating a handoff, and then he can get to the hoop and get a lane and make something happen from there. Or get Tatum deeper in, and then once you run that pick and roll, space Holiday to the side where Porzingis is, so the deep side for audio listeners. Sorry, this might be not good for you. Get him to the deep side. Bring Brown all the way in the corner so you have space in the middle of the floor. And then at the very worst, you have Tatum working on DeJounte Murray in the post, can drive in, get his back to the basket, get his shoulder into him, and get something around the rim. That is what I want, ideally. And then if somebody comes to help, that he can kick it out. But again, that is also tough because there's fucking 4 seconds left on the clock. So it's all nitpicking at that point. But just, I said in overtime when Jaylen Brown hit the mid-range shot, I want anybody but Tatum taking the shot. And to their credit, they'd mix it up. Good for them. W. They got it to Porzingis in the post like you wanted. Porzingis found JB in the mid-range, and he made a tough mid-range shot, which probably could have been a better look, but he made it, so it didn't matter. And so,
for what it's worth, that look is right in Jaylen's wheelhouse.
Like, yes, it is.
It's not a perfect shot. I would prefer a layup, but for Jaylen,
you don't get layups in the last 10 seconds.
Not the absolute worst thing. Jaylen makes tough mid-range shots from the half circle all the time.
And you're almost never, excuse me, I had to cough. That wasn't me like emphasizing that hard. You're almost never going to get a layup in the last 10 seconds of the game. It just doesn't happen. Like, people like cut it off. It's not going to happen unless you have a complete mismatch. And even then, it's usually the guy from the corner helps over, stops a layup, and forces you to kick it out. Like, that's just how defense is playing the last few seconds. But like we said, this was
lost. This is how it feels to be the Pistons.
Yeah, it is, except they're probably having more fun because they have no expectations.
Yeah, it's true. They win, it's a party.
Everyone gets wings. Emphasize, we spent all this time on the last few minutes. This game was won and lost because of offensive rebounds. And you know what? Before we go, I'm going to pull up. This is funny. So, which was it? There was a play late in the game we were watching with Jake Eisenberg in the playback. And the Celtics actually ended up getting the rebound. But it was the perfect example of how the hell, like,
it was the last, it was the Murray shot with no time, well, not no time left, with no shot clock left after he missed.
Yep.
And Murray fell down, and the ball bounces almost directly back to him before Jaylen and Kristaps are like, hey, let's get this.
Celtics, who, to their credit, actually played pretty good defense under DeJounte Murray.
Correct.
His, like, last three shots fucking took you long enough to figure it out. Jaylen plays great defense here. Jaylen and Kristaps just watch the ball bounce all the way back to to him. Neither of them are inching in at all. They're completely just watching to see the result of the shot rather than going in to, like, prepare for a rebound. And that's the perfect example of, wow, these guys are ball watching. So, frustrating. Offensive rebounding is why the Celtics lost the game. But you also got a chance to see some late game execution, which I would argue regulation not good. However, you did see some progress in overtime. So take it for what it will. Celtics have I don't want to call it a big game because none of these games are big games anymore, but a more entertaining game against the Pelicans, against a better opponent, I suppose you could say. And a real chance to avoid
an overtime buzzer beater game.
Yeah, I know. I meant more entertaining opponent, I should say.
More marquee game.
Yeah, thank you. That's the word. On Saturday, 5 p.m. tip, by the way, which is disgusting. And I don't like, but I was going to say something else fun. Oh, chance for them to redeem themselves in the sense of if they lose, that's their third loss in a row, which hasn't happened all season. So maybe stop. but appreciate y'all for tuning in. Let us know your thoughts in the comments, which I'm sure you will after this one. And I'll let Sam wrap it up.
Hey, thank you very much for watching. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, hit the notification bell so you don't miss any of our daily uploads. We're coming at you every day with something new at 5 a.m. You can find us live here today, Friday at 11 a.m. for Talking Seas with Bobby. We're here on Monday and Wednesday for that as well. The full pods come out Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. And in between, we're doing all kinds of stuff. You can also find us on Spotify and Apple. Follow us there for the game recaps and full pods, audio only. Leave a 5-star review. We'd appreciate that. You can email us, hbtcpod@gmail.com. Like Jack said, I'm sure you got something to say, so tell us. You can find us on socials at How About Them Seas, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. The Facebook is just the name of the podcast. You can find our streams there on YouTube and on Twitter. Jack's Twitter is at JacksMoneyNBA. Mine is at Sam LaFrance NBA. That's it for us. Bye. Tic-tac-o.
Come on.
Tacos. Tacos having some fun here.
Bogus! These guys are ridiculous!